Big as I am, I always feel a little small when I follow Sister Duncan. Thank you, sis. Praise the Lord. Shall we turn to God's word? One verse. I should tell the booth that we will be working from St. John's chapter 11 for most of the service. But we're going to read from St. John's chapter 11, and we're going to read just one verse, verse 40. St. John's chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Sure, the Lord will add a blessing as we go through his word. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for another day. We're thankful for this worship service, and we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. It is my sincere desire that those who hear these words will be blessed as they come from you. Hide the speaker behind the cross and let them hear the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that passage of scripture comes from right in the middle of the raising of Lazarus. And I think most of us are well aware of that story. But let's go back to the beginning of the chapter of John chapter 11 and do a little recon. Okay? Now, at the beginning of the chapter, what we are told is that there was a man named Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus got sick. And he was very sick. So his sisters, who and Lazarus knew Jesus, they were friends of Jesus, they sent to where Jesus was and told Jesus, the man that you love, our brother Lazarus, is very, very sick. Now, I want you to give me some leeway room here. I want to equate this to our prayers. When we have a problem, when we have a situation as Christians, who do we turn to? We turn to Jesus. We get on our knees or we ask the saints to pray, and we pray to Jesus making requests. So similarly, these sisters did the same thing. They went to Jesus and they sent someone to Jesus and told Jesus what the problem was. When we have a problem as Christians, we tend to call on Jesus just as Mary and Martha did. I want us to think about our attitude when we pray to God. That's what this message is about. For lack of a better term, I entitled it The Anatomy of a Prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this request and see some good things and some bad things in terms of our attitude of prayer. Hopefully, we will take the good things, amplify them. We will take the bad things and eliminate or dismiss them. First of all, when we pray and we tell Jesus all about our troubles, Jesus knows all about our troubles. He already knows. In Isaiah 56, the Lord says, before you call, I will answer. So when we pray, we need to let Jesus know that, Jesus, this is the situation, but we need your help. And that's the object of prayer, is to elicit Jesus' help, to let him know that we are depending on you, not the doctors, not the, we will go to the doctor and we will see the doctor and we'll take our medicine, but we are depending on Jesus to help us through. Second of all, Jesus not only knew, but he knew more than Martha or Mary, because he knows it all. He knew the entire situation. In verse 4, Jesus says, after he's been told that Lazarus is sick, he said, Jesus heard that this sickness, and he said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. So this sickness had a purpose to it, believe it or not. It was to eliminate, it was to exercise the glory of God. Do you remember when the disciples asked Jesus about the blind man? And they said, Lord, who sinned? Was it his parents or was it him? Why this man is suffering blindness? And Jesus said, no one sinned. His blindness was towards the glory of God. So when we have problems as Christians, we need to recognize that those problems are a process that's going to lead us towards the glory of God. Okay, the Christian life is not devoid of problems. We will have problems. God didn't promise us a rose garden. Okay? It's problems. Anybody here got a problem? Anybody here had a problem? Anyone here anticipating a problem? We're going to have problems. And as Christians, we need to recognize that those problems, believe it or not, are in God's plan towards his glory. Not only that, by the time Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, Lazarus was already dead. Okay? And if you want to do the math, I'll explain to you. He waited 2 days, and where he was, it took 2 days to get to where he had to go to see Martha and Mary. That's 4 days. When he got there, they told him that he had been dead 4 days. So Jesus, not only did Jesus know that Lazarus had been sick and how sick Lazarus was, Jesus knew that Lazarus had already died. But Jesus, when he tells the disciples, he says to them in verse 11, these things he said unto them after he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of his sleep. Then Jesus came, said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, I want you to see in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Lazarus. Don't ever forget that. Because when you pray as a Christian, you need to understand that Jesus loves you too. Jesus hears all of your agony and all of your pain and all of your sorrow, because he loves you. And just like how Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary, when you put your, whatever it is, when I get a real serious situation, and praise the Lord, I haven't had a lot of them in my life, but when I feel the need to pray about a serious situation, I lay on the floor and put my face to the ground. I completely humble myself before God because I need him. So Jesus knows all of that. So then you might say, well, if Jesus loves Martha and Mary, and he knows of their pain and suffering, why did he wait 2 days? The Bible is very clear. It says, when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Normally, human reaction would be, my friend is sick, I need to get to him as soon as possible. Okay. When we pray, saints, listen to this. When we pray and we put things in God's hands, God has an entirely different time structure to ours. It's different. God's spiritual timetable does not necessarily match up with our perceived needs. God has a as I said before, God has a reason for us going through things. And he is going to set those timetables up for us. He waited 2 days. And then he went to see about Lazarus. Now, when he got there, he first spoke to Martha, and then he spoke to Mary. These two sisters who, based on my thesis, had sent out a prayer to Jesus. Jesus, we need your help. Our brother is sick. Jesus gets there. Lazarus is already dead. Both sisters say the same thing to Jesus. They say, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. One of the first mistakes or errors that they made. See, because they were limiting Jesus. Number one, Jesus didn't need to be there to cure Lazarus. He could have cured Lazarus from where he was at the time. Do you remember the Roman centurion that went to see Jesus about his servant, and his servant was sick, and Jesus said, "Where is he?" And the centurion said to Jesus, "Lord, you don't even have to come to my house. I'm a centurion. When I tell my soldiers to do what they're supposed to do, they do it. All you have to do is say the word." And Jesus marveled at this centurion's faith. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus marveled at our faith?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus marveled at that when we said a prayer, when we get on our knees and we present a situation to God, that our attitude is so much faith in Jesus that Jesus will say, I'm marveling at the faith of this believer. May the Lord take us there one day. May the Lord take us there one day. Secondly, they were they were saying, Jesus, you got here too late. And there is an extreme example of a believer not understanding God's timetable. God is never too late. He's always right on time. So in their minds, they put out a prayer. Jesus, we need your help. Our brother is sick. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was dead. So in their minds, literally, their prayers had not been answered. Their prayers had not been answered. Jesus came too late to save their brother. He was sick. He was already dead. He was sick and he was dead. We need to understand that the God that we pray to is all-knowing, all-powerful, and can answer any prayer that we give to him far beyond what we are asking for. And we need to pray with that attitude. We need to ask for what we want . Jesus will answer according to his grace, mercy, his love, and for his glory. Second of all, they said, if you had been there. Saints, can I quote the scripture? Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. He's always there. So there was a little lack of faith by Martha and Mary. And this theme extends on. Because if you look down to verse 33. After Mary had come and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Just hold on to that for a minute, because I'm going to bring you back to that groaning. And said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, listen to this, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind and caused even this man, should not have died? What are they doing? They're doubting Jesus. They're questioning Jesus's power and Jesus's timetable. And when they said that, Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, coming to the grave. Now, that word in verse 33, he groaned. And in verse 38, groaning, those are the only two times that that word is used in the Bible. The word groaning is used in other places, but the interpretation of this groan, you need to understand. The Greek interpretation is literally, he snorted in indignation. Do you understand that? He snorted in indignation. What it meant was Jesus was actually offended by the fact that they were still weeping, that they were still crying, that they were questioning his attitude, when in actuality, they were speaking to the God and creator of the universe, the giver of life, the one who could do anything. And they were doubting him. I won't say it, honey. Ask me afterwards and I'll tell you what I was going to say. My wife told me I can't say it, so I won't say it. But Jesus was upset. He was disappointed that all of these people did not believe who he was and the power. Now, saints, what I'm saying to you is, when you pray and you give something to God, leave it there and wait for God to do whatever he's going to do with it. It may not be the answer that you want. It may not be, because God knows more and God has his timetable. Or it may not be the time that you want. But when we pray, we have to pray not as a function. You know how we pray? You know, we have prayer meeting and we all, you know, and a brother gets up and he prays, Lord, take care of the sick and take care of this and take care of that and make sure we bless the building program. And it almost becomes perfunctionary. We do it every week. We pray and we're waiting, we wait. And what we need to realize is that when you go before the throne of grace, Jesus says, as he said to Daniel, the first time that you pray, I heard you. The first time you say a prayer to the Lord, he has already got it. He's heard it. So that's, you know, when the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, the Bible is saying, never cease to recognize that you need me and you need to come to me with your problems. It's not about a matter of telling God what you need, because he already knows. It's a matter of putting yourself in a position of saying, God, I have to depend on you. I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to take care of me. I need you to solve my problems. I need you to give me the answers to this situation. And we need to understand that I am not saying that every time you pray, and if you wait long enough, God is going to answer your prayer. What I'm saying is that God is going to take care of the situation to your benefit and to his benefit. What's the verse? What's the verse? Romans, tell me about it. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. According to his word. God has a plan for each and every one of us. As a matter of fact, where is that verse? Jesus says, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah, plans of good and not evil, plans to prosper you. And we have to believe and exercise faith when we pray that God is going to take care of business. TCB. Okay? Not that he's going to give us everything that we want, because we're human and we have a very, very bad habit of praying for things that we don't need or things that will be harming us. And that's why the Holy Spirit takes that prayer in Romans and cleans it and threshes it out and comes up with the good wheat. And therefore, then he takes it to God. And then God can answer the good wheat prayer. He's not going to answer foolishness. And sometimes we ask him for foolishness. So, but believe it or not, the unbelief continues. Because Jesus says to Martha, he says, listen, okay, this is where he is. Somebody roll away the stone. Martha says, no, we don't want to do that. This guy has been dead for 4 days. He is rank. He is smell. We don't want to. That's unbelief. You're not listening to what Jesus is telling you. Then Jesus, when Martha says that to Jesus, Jesus says to her, this is the verse that we read at the beginning. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. Now, one of the things that I like to do when I'm studying a scripture is I go back to the original Greek and I get some of the words. And then if you were to listen to this verse, what Jesus is saying to her is he's saying, Martha, didn't I tell you that if you decide to believe on me, you will, and you will continually be exposed to the glory of God. That's what Jesus was saying to her. He's saying, he wasn't talking about Lazarus. He wasn't talking about bringing Lazarus back to life. He's talking about the very fact that when we bring our concerns to God, Jesus is saying that if you believe, If you believe on me, and I'm going to get back to that in a little bit, if you believe on me, it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. Now, we know the story, and on a couple of things I want to point out to you. In verse 42, Jesus prays to God. Jesus prays to God, and he says, I know that thou hearest me always. That's a lesson to the saints. Jesus, God hears us most of the time. He hears us all the time. And then he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And Mary and Martha, who had never even thought to ask Jesus to bring him back to life, got their brother back. They didn't even have the faith to say, well, God, you got here late. Jesus, you got here late. He's already dead. But could you bring him back to life? Saints, we pray and we pray and we pray. Do we believe? Do we believe in God that God is going to fulfill our heart's desire according to his riches in glory? That's what God is saying. And again, I want to say to you that God, you know, I have members of my family who passed, and I prayed for them. And they passed anyway. So I'm not saying that God is going to, every time you, if you believe steadfastly that God is going to do that, because people are going to die, and people are going to get sick, and people are going to lose their job, and things are going to happen. But our posture is what I'm talking about. Our posture before the Lord has to be, Lord, I trust you 100%. And whatever comes my way, I'm going to accept it from you because I know that you love me and I love you. Okay. I want to take you just... Okay, 3 more minutes. Take you back to verse 25. Jesus said unto him, Jesus is having a conversation with Martha, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is talking about salvation right here. Not talking about raising Lazarus from the dead or not, because he already knew he was going to do that. Jesus is explaining to Martha and to everyone here in this room that Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. You want to go to heaven? You better see Jesus. You don't want to go to hell? You better see Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And what I'm saying to you is that if you're in this room this morning and you have never said to Jesus, yeah, you can talk to Jesus anytime you want. And you have never said to Jesus, Jesus, I know that I am incomplete. I am a sinner. And I know that if I don't have you in my life, I'm going to go to hell. Jesus, I need for you to save me. If you have never said that, you're going the wrong way. Because until you say that, Jesus cannot come into your life. Until you are willing to accept the fact that you need Jesus and that you're asking Jesus to come into your life. And if you do, he comes in immediately. Immediately. Once you ask him, he comes in. But if you don't ask him, if you've never said those words, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to save you, you're still on your way to hell. And I don't mean to denigrate anybody. I'm just speaking what the gospel tells me to tell. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if you have any questions about that, if you have any concerns about that, I will be here for after the meeting. You can come and see me, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you and show you from God's word how you can be saved and know that you're saved. So we want to conclude. Saints, when we pray, we need to pray and pray believing. Regardless of the outcome, we must believe that the promises of God are true, 100%, and accept the outcomes. Know that God answers our prayers and answers our prayers, each and every one of them, for our good and for the glory of God. Looking forward in that faith, and please believe. Thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless you. And again, if you have any questions, particularly about salvation, please see me after the service is over. Let us close in prayer. I bless you, Lord and Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for this opportunity that we have had to preach your gospel, to preach your word, to remind your people that they serve an awesome and powerful God, and that they can rely on him 100%. So, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would bless each and every one here. Take them home in peace and in safety. Enrich their lives. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior yet, dear Lord, we just ask that they would make that decision today. Because as we look at the world today, no one is promised tomorrow. So, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.